Finally, Lior. There's maybe a story to tell.
Whoa.
Lior Zolman wants to be introduced as a tennis player. You need a dongle? You good? Who is grateful he was scheduled to give his two-part talk yesterday at the same time as the U.S. Open Finals, so we didn't have to watch while poor Kai, I'm so Tennessee, Nishikori got trounced. So he's going to share with you guys C++ brain teasers, and we'll see how teased your brains get as a group. It's late.
All right. I could start by telling you how my computer almost spent all of tonight locked up in a Quiznos, but I don't want to think about that. So. There we go. I thought I was going to see my screen over here. And don't. Oh, thank you. All right. So I'm going to put up some puzzlers. These are little time killers I put up in the morning or after lunch when I'm doing a training, so I don't have to sit there and grumble while people are late coming into class. And I picked some of the ones that I like the best and just have some fun with them. So for each one of them, I'll put it up, and I just ask you to remain silent for about a minute so everybody has a chance to think about it. And then when I give the word, I'll take volunteers if you think you have the answer. And the secret here is just give me what you think the answer is. Don't give me any explanation, because that will give it away for everybody else if you didn't get it right. So just give me the answer. If it's right, we'll talk about it. If not, somebody else maybe will get a chance. And that's how they work. So, all right, let's do this. There we go. And we'll start with using. All right, it's scaled pretty well. So there's actually two parts to this. Part one is in the first comment. Part two is in the second. Go. I forgot to mention, if you've seen any of these before, please disqualify yourself for answering. All right, so who thinks they know part one? What do you say? Legal or illegal?
Part one legal, part two illegal.
Correct. All right, so go ahead and explain it.
Can you
yeah, so the answer is part one is legal, part two illegal.
Part one doesn't add C out to the local scope. It just allows name lookup to look into standard scope.
Right. The secret to part one is understanding what a using directive does. If it's out in file scope, it's pretty intuitive. But if you use a using directive in a local scope, it doesn't introduce those names into the local scope. It makes them behave as if they were declared up at namespace scope. So you can actually redefine an identifier out of that namespace, and it becomes a local variable. So the first part is perfectly legal. Right, and so then the second part is a using declaration, right? Instead of the directive, we use a couple of using declarations. Well, there's a reason they're called using declarations. They really do declare an identifier in that inner scope, and then it's an error to redeclare or redefine that identifier. Great.
So,
why does the redirect? What's a redirect? Right, that's what I just explained. If you use two using declarations in the place of the directive, you're declaring those names in that local scope.
So you have shift 5, is that true?
Yes.
See out shift 5.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, see out shift 5 in the very last line, you mean, right? Yeah, it's an actual shift. Yeah, all right. Let's do another one. Now, this has got to be my favorite. Don't give it away. Go. Read the slide for the question. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops. Sorry, good catch. Not a compile error. I wouldn't do that to you. Remember, shh. It's really important when I ask for your hand here that you just give me the answer of what's the behavior. Don't explain it. Don't explain it. Shh. Okay, hands. And go for it. You said it's a recursion, so what's the behavior? Okay. What? So from the sound of that, you didn't really say the truth, so I'm going to take somebody else. Very end there. Okay, that's close enough. It blows up the stack is what happens, okay? So what's the problem here? Okay, let me do this. I'm gonna insert one keystroke. I'm gonna hit one keystroke, and I'm not gonna change the semantics. You ready? One keystroke, and it's not where it was supposed to be. It's right here. I have to push the button harder. Okay, there's the keystroke. It was an enter key. Same exact program. It's a label. It's a label. I wrote a C compiler once, and I wrote the library in C, and this was a C compiler, a C library. So in the implementation of the printf family, there's a function that does conversions, and I misspelled a default keyword in a switch statement as defalet and shipped the library that way, compiled. And then 2 or 3 months later, I finally figured out why I was getting bug reports with why certain format conversions weren't working right. And that's when I decided the compiler should diagnose labels without go-tos. It just might be a useful thing. Okay. Let's do inline. This one's a little different because it's not a puzzler that has a right or a wrong answer. This one is a matter of style. And I just find that it's an interesting thing to think about. So what we have here is a header file for some class T. There's three ways to declare an inline function in a class. And all three are 100% equivalent semantically. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you use option number one, which is to have an in situ inline. That's the first one. Option number two, declare your function in class with the keyword inline and then define it out of class, but in the header without the keyword inline. So option two, the two lines go together. Or option number three is declare it in class with no special adornments and define it outside the class with the keyword inline. So whether it's option one, two, or three, it means the same to the compiler. There's no performance difference. There's no meaning difference. Is there any reason to prefer any one of those over any of the others? So think about it for a little bit, and then we'll just take a few answers, and I'll give you my opinion. And it is just an opinion. No, no, there's no tricks on this one. I know you're not used to that, but this one really is just a serious style discussion. I just find it something that is interesting to think about.
You could put inline on.
Yes, you could put inline on both, but there's no point to that. So I just used the three most likely, I think the three reasonable options. And the fourth one is legal, but okay. So let me just take some opinions. Go ahead.
Option two should be banned. Option one is preferable if the body is short. And option three is okay if you have, let's say, too much to make the class readable.
So two is banned. It sounds like you prefer number one if it's short or number three, okay?
One is shorter, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And your opinion is shared by some very esteemed folks who I've discuss this with. Okay, other opinions? Anybody? Let's see, very back corner. Yeah, sure.
I actually prefer option two because it makes it clear in the quick snapshot I get of the code that this is a function that's supposed to be inline.
Okay, so you like advertising the fact it's inline. Okay, go ahead, next person next to him. Let's just stick to my three options. Go ahead. We don't have a half hour.
I think three is probably the best because if you look at the class declaration, it's very simple. It doesn't obscure the name of the function with inline, which is an implementation detail. And then you have the option, if you want to put in the same header and have it inline, you put it there. Otherwise, you put in the source file and the CPP file, and it'll still compile. And you just move the inline keyword, and it's all good.
Pablo.
So I like option three best in general. But I go with option one not because of when it's short, but when the best documentation for the function is its if.
Okay. So one more. Go ahead.
I have to say, you can toggle with our tooling between one and three.
The tooling isn't an issue here. Okay, so let me give you my opinion, and it is just an opinion. My preferred style is option three. So let me give you a scenario. Before I give you the scenario, whether a function is inline or not is an implementation detail, and the person who said number three, I think, nailed it there. That's really what's most important to me. It's an implementation detail. What part of a class is the most universally important? You know, the class definition or all the implementation stuff outside of it? Who needs to know about, what's the largest group of individuals need to know about? The interface, right? Which is typically the public part of the class definition. And all that other stuff, if I'm a user, a client, a consumer of a class, I'm gonna just ignore everything that when it starts getting private or protected. Unless I'm inheriting from it, but let's not worry about that. Right, I'm interested in the public interface. Everything else is an implementation detail. With regards to inline, let's say I've just written a bunch of code for another group, and I'm the writer, and another group in my company is the consumer of that code, and I'm sitting at my desk, I get a call from one of these other users using my library, and he says, hey, Leo, I really think you should have made the function X inline in that class of yours. And I go, oh, you think that? Did you profile it both ways and determine it would have been better? And he goes, well, no. I said, I thought so. Blam! I can get back to work. People need to have this level of trust that an implementer is doing things right. If I'm a consumer user of the class, do I need to know if it's inline or not? No. I just need to know the interface. How do I call it? Inlining is an implementation detail. And inline is going the way of the register keyword anyway. In 10 years, no one's going to ever write it because the compilers will all be smart enough to inline things when they need to or not. Therefore, I think there's no information about whether it's inline or not that needs to clutter up the class definition so someone can read just the basics of what they need. Option three gives somebody reading the class definition the minimal and complete set of information that they need to use that function. That's my opinion. This is a religious issue. So there's going to be disagreement, and that's great. But it's 9 o'clock. Thank you.
10 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock in some time zone. It's 10 o'clock here.